We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What we are looking out for at the NFL Combine, that's what we're talking about today on RotoViz Overtime. We are recording this one on a Wednesday. We usually have RotoViz OT out a little bit earlier, but unfortunately this week, Sean Siegel, a little bit not at, I guess, Combine participation levels at this moment. A bit of a back pain. So we are joined by the wonderful Blair Andrews. We're going to talk through some of his thoughts on the Combine, some of the players he is potentially looking out to see what happens with them. And Blair is going to join us as well for the second show this week. We are still spitballing some ideas as to what the topic will be, but it feels like a state of the best ball landscape, maybe the direction that we head on for that later in the week episode. But looking forward to jumping into this today. Blair, as we sit here, how are you ahead of the Combine? Is the Combine something that you get excited about? I feel like, you know, my more earlier years, like, you know, following the NFL, these things like got you really, really hyped. But then as you go through enough cycles of it over and over again, the same with free agency, I think you kind of just kind of becomes part of the calendar. How are you set up here for the Combine?
I think I'm always pretty excited for the Combine when it comes around, and it helps that it only takes up a few days, right? I mean, the analysis afterwards obviously goes on forever, but at least in terms of actually kind of having to follow the news, you're only doing that a couple days. I mean, what's interesting is that kind of as we've gotten more data and more sophisticated about the combine drills and what matters, you come to realize that a lot of what happens at the combine doesn't matter as much as we hope, or at least it's easy to double count things that you see at the combine and kind of give them too much weight. So from that perspective, you know, we probably ought to be a little less excited about it than we are, but it's always fun to see these guys actually run and stuff. So I can't help it.
I think a part that you mentioned there, and I was going to ask this next, is like, you know, the combine itself and the drills, and, you know, people have become much more aware of what traits rather than just being fast. Being fast helps, but obviously there's players in the NFL who aren't at that extreme top end speed. You know, not everyone can be Tyreek Hill, but there's still a lot of, you know, very impressive players every week in the NFL. But the combine itself, what we're seeing more and more is, you know, people realizing, similar with some of the college bowl games, that sitting out these games maybe is the best decision for your career. And the same with some of these tests at the combine. So you're hearing this week, such and such isn't going to throw, or such and such is going to throw. And for one person, it's going to be, well, the person throwing, you know, is more confident. They're the player you want on your team. And the other guys, you know, I don't know what you want to call them, lazy, not confident, a coward, whatever way you want to spin it. But the reality of these things is a lot of the stuff that you do at the combine, if you are a top end prospect, unless it goes as people expect, it is likely to affect your draft status, or, you know, where you might go. If you're, you know, a lower ranked player, obviously it can help you. If you have a good 40, it can help you ascend up. But when you're at the higher end, a lot of it is just going to affect you. So we're seeing people hold off to the pro days and so on. We've seen around this time last year, obviously, with CJ Stroud, and, you know, some of the not actual athletic testing, but some of the kind of tests from some of the off the field stuff that he had there. And that really affected people's perception of him going into it. And basically this year, people have decided that, you know, we can just avoid some of those tests. So how important is a lot of this stuff in terms of the actual metrics? I know we're going to put a lot of it into some of the tools on the site. Is it for you very specific to the ones that you're going to look at? And then I think for the NFL teams, obviously you want to gather basically a standard, I guess, so you can compare all the players against each other and all the same tests and say this player is better at this than this. That is, I think, where the teams are getting the edge. But the other part is that they're getting the conversations and, you know, the interviews and so right. on, that they can right. tell if they like this player, do they want them in their organization. So there's definitely a huge benefit for the teams. But for us, in terms of the test results before we get draft capital, what are you looking for here?
Yeah, that's a good question. And it obviously depends on different positions. And even within positions, you're kind of looking for different things based on a player's kind of play style.
And with that, you're kind of talking about like slot receiver versus somebody who's going to play out wide and so on.
Right, right, exactly. I mean, if somebody is a pure deep threat, then you obviously want that long speed more than the agility versus someone who's catching passes closer to the line of scrimmage, something like that. So that factors into it. I mean, for the most part, I think at a position like running back, it does seem like a lot of the athletic testing does give us some signal that you can't get only from the production. So the speed and agility metrics really do matter. For wide receiver, it looks like that's less important, though obviously you still want guys who are fast. Like even though it doesn't necessarily show up in all the kind of regressions or whatever, you still don't want players who are slow. So I think it is important. But to your point, I mean, there are certain, so like Marvin Harrison skipping the combine makes perfect sense for him because there's almost nowhere for him to go. But damn.
And I believe, yeah, and that's kind of what I was saying about with the top end prospects. But I believe what he is doing, like a lot of the players, when you finish your college season, they start doing tests specifically for the combine. But what that really does is like changing their body to a certain point that then when the combine's over, they have to change back to be ready to play. So he has said, it's basically he's getting ready for the NFL season rather than going through. Because you'll see this as well. There'll be certain running backs and, you know, you might want them to come in at a certain weight and they're basically bulking up as much as they can for the last 2 months to try and, you know, hit a weight that then when the season starts, they're not going to be that weight.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So I think from that perspective, it makes a lot of sense to not even get all caught up in the combine and the testing. I mean, a lot of stuff you read about Harrison, even so, is that he would test pretty well. I guess I read somewhere he had been timed or he hit a top speed of like over 23 miles per hour in practice on GPS or something. So there's like every reason to think that he would actually test really well. But doesn't make sense from his perspective to go through all that. And I think you see that with a lot of guys. I'm hearing now Malik Nabers might not test either. So, yeah, it's a little bit disappointing when the top end guys don't come out and run. But at the same time, I think the combine is a lot more important for the guys a little bit lower down the rankings who have a chance to kind of show that, you know, what they put on film, what they put up in the box score does not encapsulate their entire skill set.
Yeah, so we'll see. We're recording this on Wednesday, the combine obviously coming up for the rest of the week, so we'll hear a lot of reports out of that. And there will be players who test amazingly well, players who test as expected, and then obviously ones that, as we touched on there, could put their draft stock in the opposite direction. But we'll keep looking at all that. The other part is you get a lot of, you know, information coming out from coaches and so on around the combine. Nothing really standing out huge to me this week. Dan Campbell, you know, talking about Jameson Williams, and we might be in a situation where he can become a full-time receiver. I don't want to get myself too excited, but Dan Campbell is usually pretty solid with what he says. I don't think he tries to paint too many pictures, but the one I enjoyed the most was Raheem Morris when they asked about the team, you know, if they needed an upgraded quarterback. And what he said is if the team had a better quarterback that he wouldn't have this job, basically. So, you know, so that's not a huge endorsement of the quarterback room there in Atlanta. So we'll see what they do, but it seems like they want to address the position. You know, if we're trying to read between the lines of what Raheem Morris was saying there. But let's get to the prospects and the players. Is there, you know, any, you mentioned to me before we started recording, there's likely an article coming out pretty soon that you're doing up on rotoviz.com, looking at some of the things that, you know, you want at players you want to watch at the combine. Who are maybe some of the top guys that you're most fascinated by, I guess we'll say, and maybe even why, depending on what you're looking for from them?
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Sure, yeah. Bunch of names. So you look at Michigan's offense. Michigan obviously won the national title despite having what is, you know, a pretty anemic offense, is certainly on the passing side. Only attempted, I don't know, a little over 300 attempts, I think. You have Roman Wilson leading the team with 789 pass or receiving yards. What's interesting about him is that he is one of the only players, maybe the only relevant player to have a boom rate on his catches above 50%. He led the nation in that. What's even more interesting, apparently he's tested or been timed running a 4.33 40 and a 6.2 three cone, which is like absurd. Never even heard of a time that fast. So that's probably not going to happen. It's hard to believe that that time could be real. He also had a really good shuttle, 3.77 or something insane like that. But I doubt we'll see those kind of numbers at the combine, but he's a player who, if he tests really well, you can kind of forgive his lack of counting stats in the box score in a way, because he was playing on a team that didn't need to throw the ball a lot, that didn't want to throw the ball a lot. And, you know, it kind of changes the way you view his profile. So he's one guy who I'm looking at that's pretty interesting.
He's an interesting one when you mentioned like the numbers you have heard previously, and you mentioned that you don't feel that it's likely that those numbers are actually going to be repeated here. So if he doesn't break all the combine records, he's somebody, you know, in terms of perception, how is that going to affect it if he, let's say, comes in 80% of those outcomes? What are you looking for from him? Because if he doesn't hit it, some people will be, you know, disappointed, even though, you know, we're kind of trying to temper expectations here.
Yeah, right, for sure. I mean, I think anything below a 4.440 would be a pretty good sign from him. I think, you know, a sub 6.8 three cone is something that would be among the best that you've ever seen. You know, what did Jackson Smith and Jigba do last year? Something in that range would be would be like elite. So I don't think you even need him to necessarily hit that number to make him become more interesting. But if he can show kind of top 90th percentile numbers in the agility scores in particular, I think that's going to be a key that might move him up some draft boards and makes him a slightly more interesting prospect for sure. So yeah, not looking for him to break records necessarily, but given his production, if he doesn't do like sub 4.4 and sub 6.9 three cone, I think you're probably a little disappointed.
So we'll keep an eye out for those numbers and we'll try and get some new testing equipment out there to
yeah,
right. Camp as well. But maybe, who knows, maybe he does come in and smash them here at the combine. Who's up next? Who's the next man you want to highlight?
Yeah, so the next guy, another guy who's kind of buried because of his team context, Keelan Robinson on Texas, played behind Jonathan Brooks this year, played behind Bijan Robinson last year. He only had 12 carries in 2023, but he averaged 11.2 yards per carry on those. Supposedly, he ran a 4.34 40 at a Penn State camp when he was in high school. So, if that's at all a legit time, he's obviously looking to build on that. He does have some special teams production, a 95-yard kickoff return, I believe, this season, which is another signal that there's some, another signal of athleticism that is pretty nice to see on a running back's profile. So yeah, he doesn't have the production at all. He caught 20 passes, I think, last year. So he does have some receiving ability, but you're hoping that playing behind Bijan Robinson and playing behind another really good running back prospect in Jonathan Brooks means he was just didn't get an opportunity to actually show what he could do on the field. But when he did touch the ball, he was pretty explosive. So he's another guy who I think the combine could give us some real information that his stats don't
show the whole picture.
Yeah.
And those are the sort of players where I think the combine can be huge for it, but it's a case of it either puts him higher up the radar or takes him completely off the radar. But that is also what we're looking for here with some of these, players who are, I guess, more on the fringes, and that can be because they're behind really, really talented players, but it may also just, for whatever reason, injury related and so on.
Yeah, that's true. For Robinson in particular, like you said, the combine really is decisive. Like if he performs well, that boosts
it's
his
almost
stock.
Make or break potentially for exactly. a certain, particularly as the running backs get drafted later and later, it can put you from, third, fourth round pick to undrafted free agent. And then when you get to the NFL, that's a hugely different story, in terms of what your opportunity will be.
Right. It's different. I mean, it's especially the case for a guy like Robinson who's playing on an FBS team, Texas, that's you should have an opportunity to show what you can do if you're good enough. He actually was at Alabama before that, transferred to Texas. So he's been in the spotlight and not been able to get on the field, really. So, it's different than if you had an FCS player who needed the combine to even get kind of on the radar. Robinson has been on the radar, hasn't had opportunity necessarily to play, perhaps because of competition, perhaps for some other reasons, but if the combine goes his way, then that definitely would be a big boost to his stock, and if it doesn't, then that's probably a disaster for him.
The other thing that we did mention that I wanted to go back to, you mentioned Marvin Harrison skipping the combine. Is there anybody, maybe you have somebody that's closer above him in this, is there any wide receiver you could see going above him in this draft, or do you think he's by far the wide receiver one here?
I think he's pretty clearly the wide receiver one. I do think you could have neighbors pretty close. He also, it sounds like, might not test. The other guy, I guess, who's in the mix would be Rome Odunza from Washington. He's another interesting guy because he's also supposedly run a sub 4.440 in some, I think last off season he tested at like a 4.35 or something. So he's someone who it sounds like has some speed. He's got the production at Washington, obviously a good team this year. The main knock against him, of course, is his age and the fact that he stayed in school so long. So, yeah, the combine probably could help him a lot. I don't know if it would move him above Harrison unless he maybe breaks 4.3 in the 40. But it does sound like he's got a chance to do well at the combine, and that could be pretty big.
Again, going to be interesting. I am excited. I mentioned at the start, like, were you excited? It's one of those things. Like, once it kicks off, I'll be watching it all to see what the results are coming in. Moving on. I'm kind of leaving all the floor open to you here. Any other players of, I guess, deeper? Some of these guys are quite, you know, deeper down in terms of prospects. But is there anyone that, like, you feel like that might not even be on anybody's radar that you're, you know, you're hoping that performs well, but you're hoping that then when you get to your rookie drafts in a couple of months' time that they're still going in the third round?
Yeah. I mean, there are a couple guys who I think are interesting who I wrote about in the rookie guide. Jaden Sheridan is a running back from Monmouth who I don't have, you know, there's not much indication about what his tested speed might be, but he looks fast on when you watch him. He's got several, I want to say, maybe two punt return touchdowns in his career, and he's broken a lot of touchdowns from over 50 yards. So he's got that explosiveness. He's an interesting FCS guy. The one person who I do think could perform pretty well at the combine, who I haven't talked about before, a guy named Ryan Flournoy from Southeast Missouri State, I think, or is it Southeast Mississippi, Missouri? It's one of those two. But in any case, he's at least a 4-year player, but he's got good size. I want to say 6'2 or 6'3. I can't remember his weight off the top of my head, but he's another guy who many are expecting to run a sub 4.440 and possibly jump, you know, 40 plus inches in the vertical leap. And he was insanely productive, obviously, at a pretty small school, but, you know, almost a 50% dominator rating in his final season, I believe. So he's someone who kind of a very deep sleeper who you don't necessarily, at this point, it doesn't even look like he's going to be drafted. Like he'll probably end up being undrafted. But if he has a really good combine, then he's a pretty interesting player to keep an eye on.
And I don't know if this is something that you want to do. It's always tricky to be put in this spot. Is there any players that, looking at, you know, where you see them being talked about in this draft versus what you think their actual talent is after going through the rookie gate, is there any players that you're kind of thinking, this is a player I'm going to have very little to none of come rookie draft season?
That's interesting. I mean, I mentioned Odunza already. He's probably someone I'll be a little bit lower than consensus on, in part because of the age thing. Another guy, you know, we mentioned Michigan already. Blake Corum is someone who's getting some buzz who doesn't appear to have maybe quite the profile I'm looking for in a running back. Doesn't appear to be as explosive as some of the guys going later than him. He's also been in school a while. So these are guys who are, you know, I wouldn't say that I'm definitely taking them off my list or anything. I don't think at this point it's smart to really remove anyone until you have a clearer picture of their situation. But those are guys that at this point I expect I'll probably be underweight on.
Yeah, there's a long way to go, obviously, with the testing process, but then you get where they go in the draft. you know, what their situation is, where they're then going in rookie drafts when you're at that point. So I am putting a lot on you with that question, but you really, it's a case of then where the ADP sits. Like, you know, if somebody is projected to be in the first round, but they're, you know, going in the third round of those rookie drafts, it's a much different conversation. Something though that I like to do from time to time when we are talking on something, and you know, we're talking about the age profiles of these players, and you mentioned a couple of times, you know, players being too old, and you know, we always have new listeners coming in every season, and you know, from time to time for the draft, and we tend to sometimes just talk about that, and then I'll get an email to say, you know, you kept saying this, what does that mean? So for listeners, what is kind of the, when you're looking at the pros and cons of a certain age profile, what are you meaning there?
Yeah, I've got a bunch of articles on RotoViz kind of discussing all these topics, but basically what we found in a lot of our research is that players who come out of college at a younger age, so 21 or 22 usually is what you would be looking for, they have earlier success. They tend to have more successful NFL careers overall. They tend to be better for longer. There's a lot of indications that the age you play, or the age at which you kind of declare for the draft, makes a difference. And it makes sense in a way. If you're a dominant college player, good enough to get drafted, playing against other players who are older than you, that's a significant signal. And then the other thing is, at least with wide receivers, and probably to some extent with other positions, but especially a wide receiver, we've noticed that declaring early for the draft is a big positive signal. So that, you know, normally you're looking for a guy who is declaring after only 3 years out of high school. Some people are, you know, redshirt junior is better than being a redshirt senior, but still you'd prefer to see that guy who played 3 years in college and then went straight to the NFL. I mean, obviously, if you're going to be declaring at 21, you're probably only playing 3 years. There are very few 4-year 21-year-olds, but yeah, so there's definitely some correlation between those two. But yeah, that's kind of what I'm looking for when I'm thinking about a player's age. I want those guys that broke out early. So the wide receiver breakout age is a metric you can find in the prospect box score scout that I like to look at. The final age is also important, and you know, the number of years they spent in college, and you can find more explanations on all those in some of my articles. Hopefully I'll have some updates on those this off season. So,
and that's obviously the wrong read that Blair's talking about, something that me and Sean talk a lot about, that people should be immediately checking out if they have a subscription to the site. It's, you know, worth the price of access alone. So I definitely will be checking those out. And like always, the thing I always think when, you know, we're talking about these is then when you expand and people will say like, well, this player was older when he came out, but like there's always exceptions to every rule. But the thing is, like, you know, give me five of those guys that's happened to in the last, you know, 5 years. It's always the exception. It's the same with people who test poorly at the, you know, we're talking about the combine, people who test poorly or people who have poor production. There's certain things that there's always going to be exceptions to the rule. So yeah, always check out Blair's work up on the site.
Yeah, definitely. We're talking about long-term trends with a lot of data. Obviously, there are exceptions to everything. And sometimes you can kind of tease out why the exceptions might not have followed the rule. But, you know, as with all this stuff, it's kind of, we're talking about probabilities, not certainties. So.
And that so, I think, yeah, is a good segue to mention the rookie guide. I meant to mention at the start of the show, we've got to the end of the show. The rookie guide is available now. When I mentioned it previously, it was available for pre-order, but it is available at this point. There's 98 player profiles, rankings and tiers, mock drafts. There's the sleepers in there. Blair kind of was touching on a few here today, but there is more in there. Volume 1 is now available. Volume 2 will come out after the combine. Volume 3 after the NFL draft. And it's $19.99 to get them all. So I will have the link in today's show notes. You can head on over and grab yourself a copy. Lots of positive feedback coming in so far for it. As always, I appreciate everyone that listens into the podcast. I know this one, as I mentioned, is a little bit later this week than normal, but we will have a second show coming your way with myself and Blair as well. Hopefully Sean will be back in action then for next week to talk some post-combine thoughts. But that is going to do it for this edition of RotoViz Overtime. My name is Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. You can find all of Blair's work up on rotoviz.com. Particularly, you need to look at the wrong read. You don't want to be skipping any single ones of those. They are things that I would recommend to go back to the start, check them all out, and go through them all to get that information. But you can also follow me on Twitter at Am I the Real Blair. But until I am back, have a good one. Thank you for listening to Overtime on RotoViz Radio. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz with a discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.